It's 4:18. I don't know for what we owe the pleasure to here, but who can say? All right, in this segment, we want to talk to DJ. He's been very elusive in his reporting about his mysterious and yet exotic trip around the world.
The thing is that we previewed this a little bit, and he talked about what he was doing, and I was so incredibly jealous. And I haven't wanted to ask you anything about it because I wanted to do this on the air for radio purposes. So walk us through what was a wedding that you went to that turned into a big European vacation.
Yeah, a buddy from college who I did student radio with way back in the day got married. He's got German roots, and they looked at the prices of we could have a wedding here in Chicago where they're based, or we could go somewhere really cool and it's about the same price. So why, they're world travelers, why not go somewhere really cool? So they found in the Rhine River Valley a castle in a little city called Trechtingshausen, Germany, and it's as picturesque as you can imagine. It's been restored a bit. There's a restaurant there. There's a hotel.
Did you stay there?
We stayed in an auxiliary.
Okay.
Right at the bottom of a hill, basically. So, but it's on this big hill, and it's overlooking the Rhine River, and it's all incredible. You know, exactly as you would imagine. Picturesque.
Did they subsidize those who attended in any way? And how many people actually showed up?
There were probably 80-ish people there.
Wow.
It was a lot of people, a lot of family, but a lot of friends showed up as well. They're pretty, they have that gravitation.
But that's everybody had to make their own way there.
Yes. In fact, I think that's why there was an auxiliary hotel that a lot of people had to stay at because so many people decided to go.
So people,
question.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say I've recently attended a wedding or two in DFW where you probably thought the actual retail price was somewhere up in the this is insane range. Is the, what do you call it? Getaway wedding? What do you call it?
There's a destination.
Okay. Is the destination wedding, is there an argument that you can actually do something pretty crazy rather than paying a wedding venue and the whole bit in DFW, and the people that you really want there will go anyway, and the ancillary folks may not make the cut at the same level, but is there actually a financial...
Sounds like he's speculating.
Yeah, well, you know what
hunting.
I would say?
I'm just asking.
Because it wasn't that long ago that I enjoyed my third wedding.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, you actually are you've run some experiments and some numbers.
Yeah, yeah. And we paid for everything ourselves, Marissa and I. And we weren't cheaping out, but we certainly were trying to be budget friendly. And it was still a lot of money. And most of the money that you spend are the guarantees for the venue.
Yes, the venue, the food, the band, perhaps, the photographer, like the wedding expenses are astronomical.
Yeah, and I just the wedding industrial complex in the United States is insane. So I imagine,
more specifically in DFW.
Yes. So I imagine if the average wedding costs, I don't know, maybe 35, 40 grand, you could easily do something kick-ass somewhere else for that amount of money.
Especially where this one was held, because the day that I got there, the only hiccup we had was because we were a little bit delayed whenever we got in on a Friday. And so we missed the riverboat cruise that was kind of the first little thing that everybody was going to do, the icebreaker. We were a little bit late for that. So we said, all right, we'll get settled in the hotel. We'll get food or water, you know, whatever we need. And first of all, that was our first taste of no air conditioning in Europe.
And how was the weather?
Hot.
Really?
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Fan or anything in there?
There's a fan, but whenever you're used to your very set air conditioning,
yeah.
And it was hot. It wasn't quite like it is here where you open the door and it feels like you're in an oven. It wasn't quite that bad, but trying to sleep with no air conditioning is just...
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, it was awful. But we tried to find food somewhere, This city is so small, we could not find a business that was open. There was not a convenience store. There was not a restaurant. I think it was kind of in that middle of the day where it was between lunch and dinner service. There were no cabs. We watched as people were trying to get cabs to...
So you just walk.
You just have to walk. The cabs took 20 minutes to come from another city to come get you. So very remote. And very interesting, I would say, to say the least. I had the lowest expectations for the Germany leg of the trip. It was really nice, though. Just that whole area, it's all vineyards on the hills, on the side of the Rhine River, and there's just...
Where'd you fly into?
Frankfurt.
Okay, that's where I flew into, was Frankfurt. So how far away was this from Frankfurt?
About an hour 15, train-wise. You have to make a stop or two. And you go through some not very pretty smaller cities that you stop in, but then you actually get to the Rhine River, and all right. of those cities are just, they're tiny.
They're stereotypical, what you think of when you think of Germany or Europe in general.
Yeah, there's little stores selling Christmas stuff year-round that looks like it's all super handmade, and just really salt-of-the-earth people, just extremely cool.
Was the reception at the venue, like at the castle?
Yeah, they had the setup out in a courtyard where it was overlooking the river, and then you go inside the restaurant, and it was amazing. I mean, that part of it was great. It did start to rain, but it held off long enough. But that was just kind of the entry point to the trip, because I have no connection to Germany. I don't get over there ever. So we also wanted to parlay this into a couple of other stops. So our second stop was Nice, France. And then our third stop was we stayed in Interlaken, Switzerland.
God.
And I thought Nice was going to be extremely cool.
Wasn't that great?
It was. We went there because we're beach people. And... You're right on, I mean, where we stayed, it was right on the ocean, essentially. It was a two-minute walk. There's a massive promenade, a main road that goes right next to the ocean there. It's super picturesque. The beaches are all rock, which is a little bit, you have to get used to that.
Yeah, that's weird.
When you're used to sandy beaches, and I didn't have water shoes or anything like that. Also, very touristy. It was just an endless onslaught of 20-something Instagram white girls making videos and stuff like that. And I will report, maybe the most important thing I learned from this trip, long jorts for women are totally back.
What?
The trendiest, hottest women that you would see walking around, jorts.
What? Are they loose, tight?
Yes, like parachute pant jorts, like gigantic ones.
Wow.
All kinds.
How weird.
So yeah,
the influencers that were at the World Cup game that I went to, it was jorts.
Really? I guess I haven't seen those.
It's massively trendy right now with women.
Past the knee?
Yeah, I mean, like around the knee. Yeah.
Jorts.
Wow.
Hey, were you, not to bring the room down, but were you at that place in Nice where the bad things happened, right there on that promenade?
You know what? I guess I must have been. Yeah, right around, because it's just like that main promenade. There's the old town area that's really touristy, right next to the water.
That was like a decade ago, right? A big terrorist attack.
It's been a while, yeah.
Somebody mowing down people on the promenade.
But yeah, that was the only other reference I had to Nice, France.
Yeah.
Was Jeez. That.
I mean,
way to go, Bob.
Well, it's how you learn about the world is bad things, unfortunately.
Well, how long were y'all there?
Yeah, was this just you and your fiance, or was there a whole side quest group?
Everybody split off because it's so easy to travel among different countries right there. So a lot of people just had different plans of different places they wanted to go. Croatia is a big one that people were talking about.
Man, that place is so popular these days.
Yeah. So a lot of people were going there. One of my other best friends and his lady were in Nice with us this whole time. So we did have traveling partners in Nice. And then it was just me and my lady in Switzerland. I will say the best meal that I had on the trip was in France. It was something called Doube Niçoise, which is beef stew, basically, braised in brandy forever and Mediterranean ingredients. And then just in that bowl of goop, you know, with the just, you know, all of the flavor and everything, just a million fresh raviolis in there, too.
That looks amazing.
It was the greatest thing I've ever eaten in my life. It was so good.
Where'd you get this?
This was in Nice, okay, in just some French restaurant. There, I mean, there's...
That looks amazing.
There's got to be 200 restaurants within a half mile of right there of just... That's the other thing, too, with all these places now. There's every type of food imaginable. Yeah. So it's not just like you get French food every meal or anything. They all just have everything right there because so many people come to these
places.
Could
Ham have enjoyed himself?
I think Ham could have got a hamburger that would have been just fine.
They have an Applebee's?
Didn't see an Applebee's. There was a McDonald's and a Taco Bell. I think a Taco Bell, very close within our walking distance. The highlight, though, was Switzerland, where we stayed in Interlaken. So we flew from Nice to Zurich, and then you take a 2.5 hour train ride into Switzerland or into Interlaken. And I sent y'all some of the pictures.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. The hiking there, we were able to do two really great hikes. The pronunciation is brutal. A Chenaussee panorama hike where you essentially go up into the mountains and it's a lake.
Wow.
A secluded lake in the middle of the mountains. And
that lake is incredible. It looks fake.
It looks like Banff.
Yeah. It's incredible. There's a lot of different trails where it has switchbacks where you're going kind of up the mountain, even on top of the lake where you can look way down. And it was really embarrassing because that was the most difficult hike that we did because there was a lot of elevation. But then there'll be two little grandmas that'll go right by you.
That's always the worst on any hike, no matter where you are. You're like, you're really worn out, and you're like, oh my God, that's a one-legged guy that just did that, or
yes,
whatever, yeah.
Or there were probably 20 guys, shirtless guys, were just running it the whole way. You know,
right.
Like a 45-degree angle up, and they're just sprinting up these things, and I'm...
Dying.
I'm trying to catch my breath and keep going, as I'm clearly the slowest person there.
Did you take your squirrel suit?
I thought about it. You could see all of those pretty incredible, the Eiger, and you could see all of those peaks. Those were visible on...
How was the weather up there, like in the mountains?
Not bad. I would say a little windy, low 60s. The bigger problem was just that it was sunny. They say because of the elevation, because you're so high, if it's sunny out, it's cool, but you have the very harsh conditions of the sun on you. For reference, actually, another thing, Ham played that Limp Bizkit return, and as part of one of these hikes, there's like a little mountain mini slalom cart thing, if you can imagine, where it's like a track, and it's built into the side of the mountain, and you just kind of ride down it, and
like
it's just...
Like a bobsled kind of
thing? Yeah, essentially, but it's got a gear where you can slow down, where you can brake, or... let it go. And they were playing music. We're talking about these tracks. They were just playing this very short track of music while you were standing in line for this little thing. And pull me up, Pam. So I hear three times in the line they're just playing Limp Bizkit to get you ready for this intense ride down the mountain, which I thought was really funny. If all the
Limp
songs they're going to be playing in the mountains of Switzerland, Limp Bizkit. Yeah, Limp Bizkit has made it there. So
that's awesome.
I thought that was kind of funny.
How is the food there?
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the cheese and the beer and everything, it sounds very cliche, but it tastes completely different.
Yeah.
I'm not a super big beer guy or wine guy, but you have a glass of wine in France, and oh my God, this is the best wine I've ever had. You have a beer in Germany, this is the best beer that I've ever had. This cheese in Switzerland, it's by far the best cheese I've ever had. So I don't understand why all of those things, and I'm certainly not a Merck sucks, you know, I'm definitely not that guy at all, but I had many sensations of things are so much better here in this regard. And maybe the last thing here, heard this sound a lot on the trails whenever you're in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Do you know what this is?
Is that a cowbell?
It's bring out your dead.
Cowbells. Oh. There are just cows everywhere on these hikes. And you can walk right up to them. It says not to touch them, but it's real tempting. They're all gross, though, because there's a million flies all over their face and stuff. So you don't really want to touch them.
And they're all wearing a bell?
They're all wearing these giant bells. And you can hear them from a mile away because it's just this flat plain that you're hiking on. So you can see them a million miles away. And you can hear them. And it's just, it's like you're in a postcard. It was the coolest trip by far that I've ever done.
So were they the emo cows with the bangs?
Some of them had different colored hair, like on top where it'll be a white cow, but the little fluff on top is bright red. I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, they do have little cows have that little hair on top of their head. I had no idea.
The tuft. Yeah.
So dumb question. Whose cows are they?
I think they're just farmers that tend them.
Okay,
up
but,
there.
Yeah, they're not just.
They're free range.
Well, then who's putting bells on them?
They are tagged. You can see
born with bells.
You can see they're all tagged, and
definitely not born with bells.
They might be born with bells.
That'd be painful.
What? How did it feel to be in the namesake of Corby's childhood neighborhood?
I did think about that while I was over there. It didn't remind me of Interlock and Arlington.
So
they didn't have canals.
Interlock and Arlington was first.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Yeah,
they named the Switzerland area after Arlington.
I think it's separated by like 1,000 years.
Well, Switzerland visited Arlington and said we should design something like this.
Yeah, get something cool.
Dallas does have the rest of the world beat in strip malls for sure.
Okay,
I don't think I saw one.
And strip bars.
Yeah, for sure. So we've still got that, but a lot of good things. Switzerland by far was our favorite. I'd say Germany was second, and then France was just a little crowded.
Did you see Federer in Switzerland?
Saw a lot of him on billboards, selling banks.
Is he still doing well in the advertising specter?
I think he's doing well. I even saw a lot of Stan Wawrinka billboards in Switzerland, too.
So not everybody could identify.
Yeah, I don't think she knew Stan, but whenever she walked by.
You're like, babe, I've lost like $30,000 on that guy.
I've been betting against this guy for years, and he continues to win.
That's awesome, man. So like a 9-10 day trip or something like that?
Yeah, thereabouts. And it was pretty smooth. I wish I had a funnier travel story of sorts to tell, but for the most part, it was extremely smooth.
That's great. That is great. Good for you guys.
Yes.
You and the little lady, your pre-wedding trip.
Yeah.
Where's the honeymoon, by the way? Or was that it?
She wants to do Japan, but we're pretty tapped out right now.
Yeah,
so
that'll do that. 10-day vacation will do that. Yeah.